May the Lord now be in all our hearts and upon my lips, that every thought and word be holy for the honor and glory of thy name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning, everybody. Okay, you can do better than that. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be here with you today. It really is. As I was getting ready to come back to the Church of the Ascension, everything seemed so familiar coming back to this sacred space. The last year has been a year of great learning. There have been many days that I felt as if I was climbing up a pole. That's how steep the learning curve has been, and that the pole was greased. And so every few steps, there I was, falling back down again. But to be here for this day and this celebration, to break bread with you, to celebrate the confirmation of these young people and the reception of others into the Anglican Communion, many of whom I have watched growing up before my eyes. I have been praying for each one of you by name, giving thanks for the support and the love that you have received in this journey, and I mean your journey of life. For the young people in your families, your parents, those who have supported you, those in this congregation who are here and will continue to support you in that journey. And I'm grateful for Father Aidan and for his leadership in this parish. In this season of Easter and this time of the resurrection, I'm especially thankful for all the good things that are happening under his leadership. And I can pass the message along to other clergy and congregations who are struggling in a time of transition that there is new life after the old rector has left the parish. Father Aidan and Sarah, our children grew up in this space. Our children were loved and nurtured in this space. And I know that this family will surround you and William with love so that he will know what it comes to mean to be part of a family. But let us now go back to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. It is evening on the first day of the week, and everyone in Jerusalem has been talking about the events of the last few days. In spite of Jesus' appearance to Cleopas and the other disciples on the road to Emmaus, when their hearts were burning within them, as he opened the scriptures to them, telling them in familiar words the story of their faith, of breaking bread with them at table, fear remains. Is it possible for a dead man to be raised? Can it be true that the stories the women and others have told are more than an idle tale? Just in case the ones who seized Jesus in the garden will come for them too, the disciples hide out where they hope they won't be found. Every sound outside, every voice, every footstep becomes for them the sound of soldiers on the prowl for Jesus' followers. If they speak at all, it is in whispers, and the room in which they are holed up is dark, the air stale, the smell of fear on their breaths. And then suddenly, Luke tells us, he was there. Peace be with you. Shalom. Shalom for Jesus is not just a momentary peace, but the wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. Shalom It was all they really needed to see or hear in their present state of anxiety and fearfulness. But the way Luke tells it, it is as if they were so shell-shocked that they could neither hear nor understand what they had heard, or even realize who it was that was speaking to them. Jesus knows his friends so well. He knows us so well. He keeps talking to them, reassuring them, "Why are you afraid? Why do you doubt?" And then he shows them his hands and his feet. "Touch and see," he says, "for a ghost does not have skin and bones." It's only when he asks them for something to eat and eats it in front of them that they know that this is real, that he's not a ghost, and that what is happening was certainly not a daydream. It wasn't exactly a celebration meal, was it? They obviously weren't expecting him to show up. Think of the Easter dinner that you and your friends have recently shared, the table laden with food, everyone enjoying conversation together. All they had to give Jesus was a piece, a leftover piece of boiled fish. You know how we do when somebody unexpected turns up for tea. You open the fridge and you grab what's ever there. Clearly, the story about the empty tomb, even seeing the empty tomb, wasn't enough to convince them that Jesus was alive. The disciples weren't expecting Jesus to show up at all. They had simply gone back to life as it was before they'd met or known Jesus. In one of the Gospels, it tells us, Peter says, "I'm going fishing." It's what he knows. It's what he's familiar with. But there he is, Jesus right in front of them, moving so quickly from appearance to talking about ministry to the fears and doubts of the disciples, and then commissioning them to be witnesses, that we hardly have time to catch our breath and say those few words that are missing. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I wonder if here at the Church of the Ascension this morning, we can imagine ourselves in this part of the gospel. Can we put ourselves in the place of the disciples as they are taken aback by the surprise of seeing Jesus and then handing him that piece of leftover fish and then listening to his familiar voice, once again their teacher, reminding them of everything he had taught them and urging them to go out and be witnesses of what they had seen and what they had experienced, not just that day, but in the 3 years that he was with them. I actually think that we are often closer to their experience than we believe we are. I think that Christ dwells deep inside each one of us, and that again and again, Christ brings healing and hope. I think there have been moments for all of us, whether even believing it or being conscious of it. The hand that we reached out to another's need was not our own hand, but Christ's hand. And moments when tears of joy or sorrow, our own or another's, were not our tears, but were Christ's tears. This week, the tears that our nation and the world have shed over the death of the members of the Rumboldt Broncos were certainly Christ's tears. The hand of comfort and the words spoken were not our words, but Christ's words. Because at a time like this, who has any words of their own that are the right words? And why is this? I say it is so because our eyes are not all we have for seeing with. even though our eyes can tell us many things. With our eyes, we will soon see purple crocuses popping up through the soil of the lawn at the Church of the Ascension. And the trees now bare will soon be dressed in green and in fall, the colors of flame. That these young people sitting here in front of us today have blonde hair and brown hair and blue hair. They look beautiful. They look beautiful. And they are nervous and they are afraid. The other thing I can see is that sometimes the chairs at the Church of the Ascension are pretty rickety. There are Sundays when the chairs are all full, and there are other Sundays when they are empty. But that is all our eyes can tell us. Our eyes cannot always see the truth or the stories behind the people who sit in the pews. The truth about crocuses on the lawn is that spring will soon be here, that new life is possible after death. The truth about trees is their great beauty at any time of the year, and how they bring for us imagination of years gone by when we as children sat underneath them or climbed into them. The truth about all the young people in this church is that they are so precious that without a moment's hesitation, any one of us would give up our lives to save theirs, should it be necessary. And the truth about this church is that for reasons known only to God, it is full of holiness and hope. But it is not with the eyes of the head that we see things like that, but with the eyes of our hearts. And so it is with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can read all about the death and resurrection of Jesus in the Gospels. We can analyze it and talk about it. We can look at pictures and try to understand it. I can preach about every single encounter of the resurrection. But until the story moves from our heads to our hearts, until we become an Eastered people, whose lives are actually transformed by the resurrection, it can only remain an idle tale. Last week, we listened to Jesus' encounter with Thomas, who Jesus invited to put his hand in his side and to see his hands and feet, which the nails had pierced. That moment for Thomas was his moment of seeing Jesus for who he really was. Not because of what he did, but because for the first time the scales fell from Thomas's eyes and he saw Jesus with the eyes of his heart. I expect that Thomas's words were not shouted, but whispered, "My Lord and my God." We aren't told what Thomas did next, but as an Eastered person, I know he became a witness to the resurrection. Now, do we need to be worried about that baby? I have so been there. William is teething right now, so he didn't have a good night, and I'm sure he'll be better with his mom. Yesterday, I had the wonderful opportunity to spend some time with the confirmation candidates and those being received today. And we shared stories of where we have seen Jesus with the eyes of our heart at the Church of the Ascension, of how this place has become for each of these people home, family, place where they are loved, where they feel safe, where they are known. I give thanks for the opportunity that you've given them to grow in their faith. And I believe that the rest of us are an Easter people who do see the risen Christ in each other, which is actually what brings us back to church week after week, in spite of all of our frustrations and fears and all of the hurts which we have also been a witness to. And over the years have left so many people in our churches wounded and hurt. I believe we see Jesus in the faces and lives of the people we know who have loved him and served him and who have played an important part in naming us as beloved sons and daughters. I asked the candidates yesterday, who are the people who've brought you to know God? And you are here today. I believe that like the disciples whose hearts were burning on the road to Emmaus, that we have caught a glimpse of the risen Christ in the pages of the gospel when a particular account has come alive for us, when it was as if Jesus was standing right here with us. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I believe I have seen Jesus and the heart of Jesus across this diocese when there has been a pause in the endless chatter about him and there is just silence. Jesus is there in the waiting, in the silence, and will answer us. We are called to be witnesses to all the times we see as Jesus sees with our hearts. I want to tell you about one occasion this Lent when I experienced someone seeing another person with the heart of Jesus. I made my way around the diocese leading quiet days, which was an opportunity for silence and a chance for Jesus to make himself known and heard. At the end of each day, we gathered around a font with water, we renewed our baptismal promises, and I invited participants to come to the font in pairs and to make the sign of the cross on each other's forehead. On one occasion, an elderly couple in their late 80s who admitted that they had never been to a quiet day before came down to the font holding hands. He dipped his finger in the water and ever so gently made the sign of the cross on his wife's forehead and said, so that we could all hear, "My darling, remember your baptism and be thankful." My darling, those words of love, when one person sees another not with the eyes in the head, but with the eyes in the heart. Seeing one another with the eyes of the heart, seeing one another as children of God, for that is what we are. In the long run, we see Jesus too with the eyes of the heart. And we know that it is not only to believe in him, but little by little to become bearers of his healing life until we become finally healed and whole and alive within ourselves. This is my greatest prayer for each one of you, and for me also. And now I would like to invite all the candidates to please stand. And Chantal, I wonder if you would please stand with the candidates.